Welcome, friends, to the Generations Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host with you. I'm a homeschool father of five. We raise our kids out here in the Eastern Plains of Colorado. Adam McManus, co-hosting with me today. He's the host of The Worldview in 5 minutes at theworldview.com. Be sure to get it on your iPhone. We have a Generations app, and we want more and more people listening to The Worldview in 5 minutes because it gives you a very succinct update as to what is going on around the world from a distinctively biblical worldview perspective. We get this question often, Adam. I get it almost every week now, and that is, when do we move and where shall we go? I get this question often. This from Gail in Colorado. She's asking me, hey, when is it time to get out of Dodge? Excuse me, get out of Denver or wherever we happen to be. A big question. She says she's worked very hard testifying against bills, mandating vaccines, removing religious exemptions, on and on and on. And I think she's pretty much ready to go, but she says, where do we go? When do we move? So, yeah, this is in the back of the minds of lots and lots of people as we're facing these incredibly difficult times where persecution is on the rise. The 1984 Orwellian state is all around us these days. The government take of the GNI is way beyond anything we would ever have imagined. What, 10, 15, 20 times what it was in the early part of the 20th century? And on it goes. And so people are saying, okay, so where do we move and when do we go? And here is an interesting study from redfin.com. I just went to it. Apparently, it's an MLS listing service, and they do an analysis of a million data points a month, and people are moving from here to there, and they can do the here to there, and turns out they're moving out. Americans are moving out of the most liberal cities, New York, San Francisco, Los Angeles, Washington, D.C., and Seattle. And the question that I put on theworldview.com, I wrote that segment, you may remember, Adam, was, are these liberals planning to ruin the communities to which they are relocating, or are they conservatives seeking refuge? And I think I have an answer for that.
All right.
But it's interesting, isn't it, that they're getting out of these big cities and running off to Texas and Georgia and Phoenix, Arizona.
And North Carolina.
Yeah.
Question is why? Well, I mean, one of the motivations, no doubt, is money. The cost of living is very high. San Francisco costs, for a family of four, $12,374 a month. That's $150,000 a year. But a lot of those people are moving to San Diego, where the cost of living is dramatically less, but perhaps the politics don't reflect San Francisco. But I guess with their presence, if enough of them move from San Francisco to San Diego, they soon will.
Well, I did some research, and recent stories indicate that these big cities and these conservative states are turning more liberal, and people are moving in. Significant numbers are moving in Texas. Democrats advantage in the five counties representing Houston, Dallas, Fort Worth, San Antonio, and Austin. That includes where you live.
That's right.
San Antonio. These are the Texas five. The Democrat advantage in these five counties increased from 130,000 in the 2012 election to 800,000 in the 2018 Senate election. And I don't even know what it was in the most recent election. But between 2016 and 2020, here is the shift, the Democrat shift in the major cities in Georgia, Virginia, Colorado, North Carolina, Texas, Ohio, and Minnesota. This is the shift from 2016 to 2020. You get an average shift of 7.4% towards the Democrat in Atlanta, in Georgia's bigger cities. And hence you begin to see states like this turning bluer, and they're turning bluer all the time. Atlanta turning, what, 7.4% more Democrat in just 4 years. Virginia's big city shifted 6% more Democrat in 4 years. Colorado's big cities, and that's mainly just Denver, shifted 5% more Democrat in 4 years. North Carolina's big cities, this is important, shifted 5.4% more Democrat in 4 years. Texas big cities, that's where you live, shifted like 5, 6, 7, 8%. I was just looking at all the big cities, and sure enough, they're shifting 5 to 8% in just 4 years.
That's huge.
Ohio shifted 3%. Minnesota's big cities shifted 6% more Democrat in just 4 years. And if we're to look at the 2024 election, given this pattern, and friends, I'm talking just the last year, there's been a massive increase, and this year as well. We're looking at record numbers of people moving out of San Francisco into conservative San Antonio, Atlanta, and Denver. And as I see it, Florida is the only major state that's gone more conservative. Florida is it.
Mm.
Texas is going to be close in 2024.
Oh, yes, it
is. If they can keep migration from California down, the Republicans might salvage Texas. So I think Texas has got a shot in 2024. But the conservatives have lost Virginia. They've lost North Carolina. They've lost Pennsylvania. They've lost Georgia for good. No doubt in my mind on that, especially as they continue to move out of the big cities, New York, San Francisco, Los Angeles. They're moving into Atlanta, Charlotte, North Carolina, and then down into Texas. As they're doing this, they're corrupting these cities. Friends, that's the direction we're going. I went to the interactive red-blue map for the 2024 election. The best case is I see it for the 2024 election. The Republicans are going to get 188 electoral votes to Democrats, 349 electoral votes. But if Republicans can gain... if they lose Texas, they're only going to have 147 electoral votes against 390 for the Democrats. So that's where things are headed right now, given the migrations out of California into these major cities. At least, you know, if the trends continue as they have, it's a pretty sure thing that Arizona, Minnesota, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania turn Democrat, mainly because of the increase of Democrat voters in the big cities. Mm-hmm. Michigan's a lost cause because so many Dems have moved into Grand Rapids and Detroit. So, you know, the fact that people are moving out of these horrible cities in California, New York, elsewhere, and moving into San Antonio, Richmond, Virginia, Charlotte, North Carolina, et cetera, et cetera, is not good news. It's bad news. Why? Because they're dragging their Democrat votes into these conservative states. And that's what's happening right now.
Well, the Fox Business story headline reads, record number of home buyers moving away from expensive coastal cities. Sadly, they see this story rather two-dimensionally. They don't take into account the fact that some people might be leaving because of a rejection of the liberal values, the taxpayer-funded abortion, the homosexual agenda, the transgender agenda. In addition to that, there were several commenters underneath this Fox Business story, 170 of them. I happened to just look at about five of them. One entitled, Rich the Embarrassed Democrat, said he had a family member leave New York City and another leave Seattle. He said cost had nothing to do with it. They left because they no longer feel safe. Now, these are the very cities that are talking about or have defunded their police post-George Floyd. Yeah. David Smithwick, another commenter, said, Democrats are soft on crime and they cater to the homeless and it's ruined the cities. The policies they embrace give criminals the freedom to commit crimes and they create a homeless culture and support it. There was a time when you could take the subway or a train 20 years ago without all the fights and people loitering at Penn Station, but now there are more people aggressively panhandling or looking for victims than there are actually riding the trains, and the police have their hands tied. They cannot run them off because they would be supposedly violating their rights. Golden Weasel, another commenter, said crime and lawlessness and corrupt, incompetent city governments, as in Seattle, is a big factor in addition to the economics. So I think those are interesting and revealing comments in and of themselves.
Yeah, yeah. Liberals have ruined their cities, and they'd always do that. Of course they're going to ruin their cities with all their terrible policies. The question is, will they move now into other cities and ruin them too? We're going to talk more on this in just a moment on the Generations broadcast.
Are you homeschooling but feeling distracted by a thousand so-called priorities? Our homeschools, like the rest of our lives, ought to proclaim King Jesus in every part. But earth-focused plans and man-centered methods so easily get in the way. If you can relate to all this, then we've got something for you. The God-Centered Homeschool, an online summit, is a free online event coming this April 5th through 9th to help you eliminate those competing priorities and reorient your everyday homeschooling around our great God. For from Him and through Him and to Him are all things. We have a world-class lineup of speakers, including Kevin Swanson, Rosaria Butterfield, Stephen Kendrick, Paul Washer, Leslie Ludi, and so many more. Find wisdom for making Jesus the foundation and focus of every part of your homeschooling. Make sure you register for free today. Just go to homeschoolsummits.com/event. That's homeschoolsummits.com/event.
And we're back on the Generations broadcast. Kevin Swanson with you, Adam McManus as well. And today, talking about where to move, why they're moving, where they're going, and the demographic shift that's happening in so many states. We're talking North Carolina, Colorado, Virginia, Georgia, Texas, Ohio, and Minnesota. It's possible the Republicans could salvage Texas in 2024. Hard to imagine they would salvage Arizona, North Carolina, Georgia, and a few of these others, given the trends of the liberals moving out of California and into some of these more conservative communities. They're moving from the cities they've already ruined into more cities to ruin in the future. Now, about a year ago, I did a survey, basically looking at a ton of other surveys and basically put together a list of the most evil cities in America using these indexes. And the number one most evil city in America turns out to be San Francisco. No surprise. Number two is Portland, Oregon. Number three was Seattle, Washington. Number four is New York City. And then after that comes New Orleans, Washington, D.C., and Detroit. Now, it turns out the root problem is not poverty. Poverty does not mean that a city or a village is a bad place to live. The problem is crime. The problem is sin. The problem is abortion, sexual decadence, divorce, et cetera, et cetera. That's the problem. The root problem is sin, not poverty. And this, of course, is something the liberals get wrong all the time. So they're busy trying to solve the problems of poverty and some sort of environmental issue, on and on and on, and then forget that the problem was really the human heart. But it's interesting that the most evil cities in America, on the basis of crime, abortion, sexual decadence, divorce rates, and that these were the indexes that we were able to get our hands on. It turns out San Francisco, Portland, Seattle, New York City were the worst cities in the country. And these are the cities from which people are fleeing. It's interesting. The very cities that Redfin says Americans are trying to get out of these cities and moving into Texas, Virginia, and Ohio. It turns out these are the most evil cities in America. They are the most despised cities at this point. They're the cities from which people are trying to escape. And they also happen to be the most evil cities in America on the basis of crime, divorce, abortion, sexual decadence, and so forth. Oregon, Washington, California, and Colorado, also the first states to approve of marijuana. Oregon's governor publicly announced her sexual perversions. Colorado's governor, same thing. Seattle's mayor, she's a lesbian. Portland's previous mayor, Sam Adams, was a homosexual and a pedophile. And on it goes. These were the most wicked states, the most wicked cities in America, and people are trying to get out of them now.
Mm-hmm. Well, Kate Brown is the Oregon governor. She's still living with her husband, Dan, but claims she's bisexual, apparently the first governor in America to do so. The Seattle mayor, Jenny Durkan, is a lesbian. Her live-in lover is Dana Garvey. And Jared Polis is the homosexual Colorado governor, the first openly homosexual governor, to my knowledge, in America. You have now the first homosexual first gentleman, Marlon Reis, R-E-I-S. No wonder they support the radical policies they do, because they are inevitably attempting to justify their own sin.
On the basis of abortion, in terms of abortion rates, I wanted to identify the worst cities in America in terms of the sheer numbers of babies killed in abortuaries in the cities. It turns out the most pro-abortion cities in America are San Francisco / Oakland, New York, Portland, and Seattle. So once again, these are the top four worst cities in America. The highest percentage of people who say they live a sexually perverse lifestyle in America. Again, Oakland, San Francisco at the top, then Portland, then New Orleans and Seattle. So again, San Francisco, the most evil city in America, turns out always at the top. San Francisco Chronicle reports that the Bay City has more injection drug users than high school students by a ratio of 24 to 16. The city handed out a record 5.8 million free syringes in 2018.
Wow.
So again, the city has the most drug users. It's the most sexually perverse city in America, It's number one in terms of the most pro-abortion cities in America. Wallet Hub put San Francisco as the third worst-run city in America out of 150 cities, just under Detroit and Washington, D.C.
And they're not having kids.
Yeah.
13% of the population is kids, the lowest of any major city in the country.
Right. Not having kids, killing kids, sexually perverse. It's what would you say, $150,000 a year for a family of four? You're not going to get by on that, delivering papers and working at Chick-fil-A. Oh, there's no Chick-fil-A's in San Francisco. Does it surprise you that families are flocking out of the most evil cities in America, San Francisco, Seattle, New York, and moving into Texas?
You know, I'm reminded of the term that Jesus used when describing the Pharisees. They are whitewashed tombstones. They are hypocrites. They are leaving the very city that they've ruined, let's say San Francisco, coming to San Antonio and wanting to enjoy the fruits of everything we've done in terms of a conservative, relatively Bible-believing foundation, lower cost of living, lower taxes, lower crime, because of a Christian emphasis and a Christian heritage. And yet they're bringing with them their religious nun status, N-O-N-E, that they're not affiliated with any church. They're atheist, oftentimes. They will then ultimately, once they get settled, try to have their way and use their influence to ruin the city politics and push it to the left, and then ruin this city with their embrace of these mass drug needle distributions and encouraging a homelessness culture where you're not ever hoping to get these people on their feet or getting them the help they need, but just seeing them proliferate throughout the city and begging on every street corner. You have described San Francisco, and I think rightly, as Sodom by the sea. And now they're going to want to put Sodom by the river wall.
Yeah, that's the direction that the nation is going, my friends, as people move away from these horrible cities into other cities. And here's the point. Unless they are themselves regenerated by the power of the Holy Spirit, changing their hearts and helping them to understand that they're sinners and they need Jesus and they need to repent of their sins and turn in faith to Christ and begin to attend church. Friends, unless that really happens to those that are escaping the horrible conditions created by liberals in these cities out in California, they're just going to drag all of that into these other communities as well. That's the bottom line. I asked the question of myself before I came on the air, why are these cities so evil? And, you know, I hadn't put this together directly before as we were looking at the most evil cities in the world from which people are escaping right now. And it turns out that these are also the most unchurched cities in America. I did a little bit of research into the Barna survey on the most churched and least churched cities in America. It turns out the number one most unchurched city in America in terms of larger cities is San Francisco. So again, the most evil city, the most sexually decadent city, the highest city where it's very hard to live there, most drug use, you know, most horrific conditions on every index you can imagine, turns out to be the most unchurched city in America as well. So why are these cities so evil? Well, the most unchurched cities in America are San Francisco's number one, Seattle's number two, Portland's number three, Boston is number four, and New York number five. There you go. Almost exactly what we've been saying in terms of the cities that that are courting the most sin, the most crime, the most abortion, the most sexual decadence, and of course, the most drug use and all the rest. So the most evil cities in America also turn out to be the cities that are the most unchurched, and they are the cities from which people are trying to escape. What does this mean? What this means is the reason why these cities are so evil is because there is a lack of salt. You say a lack of salt. What do you mean a lack of salt? A lack of Christians, a lack of churches, a lack of Christian influence.
Therefore, it's rotting.
Sadly, there are no Christians on the board of governors of these particular cities. Sadly, there is almost no influence on the part of the churches upon the civil magistrate in these cities. Jesus said, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick gives light to everybody in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Then he says, "You are the salt of the earth." We are the salt. We are the light. There is so little light. There is so little salt left in San Francisco. By the way, I met a pastor who was working in San Francisco. This was at one of our family conferences back 5-6 years ago. And, you know, I just having conversations with this guy was enlightening. He was doing what he could with the 6 or 8 or 10 members of his tiny little Baptist church somewhere in San Francisco. And I felt so bad for him because he was so alone and the ground was so hard. And the evangelistic outreach he attempted in his neighborhoods, so unproductive. We're looking at Sodom here. We are looking at a nation or a city-state that is ripe for the judgment of Almighty God. And sadly, lacking in salt. But not just lacking in salt, but lacking in any humility, lacking in repentance, lacking in any desire to fall on their faces before Almighty God and cry out for His mercy. That's not happening with the San Francisco Board of Governors. That is not happening in the city of San Francisco, the city of Seattle, the city of Portland, Boston, New York. And hence, these have become the hellholes in America. So why are these cities so evil? My first answer is a lack of salt. My second answer is this: their history. New York was the seedbed of abortion in the 1880s. I don't think people understand this, but I give you the full story in America in God's Providence. If you want to know the entrance of abortion to America, Madame Ristel and the rest, that occurred in the 1870s and 1880s, shortly after the Civil War. So New York becomes the seedbed for some of the most horrific social evils this world has ever seen. New York was the seedbed in the 1880s. New York was the seedbed of homosexuality in 1969 at Stonewall. San Francisco's Barbary Coast was settled by the hounds from New York City in the 1840s. It was the hounds. It was a gang of thieves from New York City that settled in San Francisco's Barbary Coast in the 1840s. Also, Australian convicts came here in 1849, came to San Francisco in 1849. These thugs began to call themselves the Regulators as they harassed Mexicans and those of Spanish origin, as well as extorted money from local businesses. By the end of 1849, several ships from Australia brought former members of Great Britain's penal colony. So sadly, the beginning of San Francisco's business district, or the Barbary Coast district, was filled with the ex-convicts that was shoveled out of the UK into Australia and the American West Coast. And they became this what was called the Sydney Ducks. They opened boarding houses and various types of groggeries. They had prostitutes affiliated with their businesses. People who entered these groggeries and brothels frequently were beaten and robbed. So these are the roots of San Francisco. The San Francisco Herald reported on the Sydney town. Roughly 1850, the upper part of Pacific Street after dark is crowded with thieves, gamblers, low women, drunken sailors, and similar characters. Prostitution was so common on the Barbary Coast that it was referred to as the Paris of America. Drug addicts of the district could even buy cocaine or morphine at an all-night Grant Street drugstore for only 2 or 3 times the price of a beer. Then the earthquake, the San Francisco earthquake, hit in 1906. The city tried to clean up the Barbary Coast in San Francisco. William Randolph Hearst magazine, The Examiner, started a major crusade against the Barbary Coast and in a full-page editorial suggested it should be wiped out. That didn't last long, and San Francisco became the Sodom of the world in the years that followed. So, friends, it's not just the fact that there are no churches there. It's also the fact that they have a bad history.
If I can interject, it almost reminds me of a reverse Deuteronomy 78, where God encourages the elders to communicate to the children and their children's children the works of God, the miracles of God, God's intervention in human history. It is really the exact opposite. It is the secular elders of their day communicating to their children and their children's children that there is no God, that we don't need God, that we are God, and that is their heritage, sadly.
The sins of the fathers often transferred to the sons and the grandsons, to the third and fourth generations of those who hate God. And that principle does hold true throughout human history. One more example of this, and then I'm done on this edition of the program. We talked about the history of San Francisco, the history of New York City. Now Los Angeles, just ever so briefly. Of course, Los Angeles, the seedbed of Hollywood. Here's an interesting CNN article, just came off the press yesterday, When and Where America's Culture War Was Won. It's a very interesting article. If you want to understand something of the cultural direction of the nation and how we were set to a direction of total cultural annihilation, cultural suicide, it all began in Los Angeles in 1974, according to this article from CNN. In the struggle for control of popular culture, Los Angeles in those years was the conservative right's Gettysburg, or Battle of the Bulge, the moment when it definitively lost the war. The reverberations of that clash are still being felt today. Los Angeles in 1974 exerted more influence over popular culture than any other city in America. In movies, music, and television, the early 1970s marked a towering creative peak in Los Angeles that transformed each of these industries. And friends, no other city has had more influence on perverting the whole world by popular culture than Los Angeles. And I don't think that's an exaggeration. Hollywood's influence over Africa, Asia, and South America has been extraordinary. I've been to these places, and Hollywood has far more influence on these continents than the Christian gospel does, and Christian missionaries at this point. They get every one of Hollywood's recent blockbuster releases. In fact, you know, oftentimes my daughter was over in Uganda. They'd have the almost to be released movie. Somebody sneaks into a Hollywood movie theater with a camera, gets the whole movie on his little iPhone, transfers it to a DVD, and kids on the streets of Uganda are getting copies of these blockbusters weeks before they hit the big screen in America. I'm telling you, friends, this kind of stuff is happening all around the world. Hollywood's influence on Africa, Asia, and South America is extraordinary. And here's the CNN article again. The great works produced in Los Angeles during these years before the crucible, in which the critique of American life that emerged during the 1960s was irreversibly hammered into popular culture. Ideas such as greater suspicion of authority in business and government, more assertive roles for women, i.e. feminism, more tolerance of premarital sex, greater acceptance of minority or aberrant forms of sexuality. All of these are now dominant, if still not uniform, attitudes in America, but they were not widely accepted before they were infused into the movies, television, and music that emerged mostly in Los Angeles from the late 1960s through the early 1970s. Popular culture became the bridge between the mass American audience and once insurrectionary ideas that developed on the vanguard of the social and political movements in the 1960s. That bridge has proved unshakable over the past half century, friends. That is the story of the destruction of America. Happened in Hollywood, happened in Los Angeles in 1974. The Babels, though, here's the point. The Babels always come down. The Sodoms always collapse. Babylon has always fallen, has fallen. And the merchants, the prostitutes, and everybody else always very disappointed when it happens. Well, friends, we are watching the end of a civilization right now. But that makes way for the gospel message to come through one more time.
That's right.
Friends, none of this is checkmating the rule of Jesus Christ over the kings of the earth. He is riding victoriously for meekness, truth, and right, and he will overcome these enemies. They're already coming down. Hollywood's coming down. Los Angeles is coming down. New York City's coming down. San Francisco's already come down. They've all come down, and people are getting out of these Sodoms right now. Well, get the whole story in my new book, Epoch, The Rise and Fall of the West. I tell the whole story of the rise and fall of Western civilization in a new book called Epoch, available now for your purchase at generations.org. It is a 700-page epochal story of the rise and fall of Western civilization. It is a spectacular story. It is the most amazing story of the last 2,000 years of human history. Get the story at our website, generations.org or kevinswanson.com. The book is Epoch on the front page of our store. Just get it now at generations.org. This is Kevin Swanson and Adam McManus, and we invite you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.